Jesus said, "I did not come to abolish the law, but to fulfill it." In Jesus, we see the fulfillment of all of God's promises, all of what is spoken of in the law and in the prophets, that in the person, in the ministry, the life and death and resurrection of Christ, we see the fulfillment of all of God's promises. I did not come to abolish the law, but to fulfill it. Jesus says these words in the Sermon on the Mount, which we were reintroduced to last week. In chapters 5, 6, and 7 of Matthew, we have Jesus' first big public sort of speech, and he gathers people and he casts this vision of what life with God looks like. And it began last week with what we call the Beatitudes. Blessed are the poor. Blessed are the meek. Blessed are the peacemakers. Blessed are the hungry. And blessed are you when you are persecuted and reviled for my sake. And in doing so, Jesus casts a vision that is sort of an upside down vision of what life tends to look like. Life looks more like blessed are the rich, blessed are the powerful, blessed are those who are in control. But God's vision, God's kingdom vision, the reality that God seeks to instill into this world is one filled with blessings, that those who've been on the outside get included. That vision is the fulfillment that Jesus is talking about. I did not come to abolish the law, I came to fulfill it. The fulfillment of God's laws, God's vision of reality is one where there are no hungry people. There is no war. There are no disagreements or gaps between people. It's filled with love, filled with God's peace. And so Jesus says, I didn't come to abolish the law, I came to fulfill it. And I think part of the reason that Jesus says this is, number one, it's true. But number two, one of the things that you see in the ministry of Jesus is that the other religious teachers, and specifically here he talks about the scribes and the Pharisees, they found that some of the ways that Jesus is teaching about the kingdom are different, and maybe they judge them as not being faithful to the scriptures. And Jesus says, nope, I'm not abolishing the law, I'm fulfilling it. And if you were to read on, for example, in Matthew chapter 5, Jesus actually goes through a number of the commandments, and what he demonstrates is what fulfillment of the law looks like. So, for example, he says, you've heard it said, you shall not murder. But I say to you, anyone with hate in their heart has already committed murder. He says, you've heard it said, you shall not commit adultery. But anyone with lust in their heart has already committed adultery. In other words, Jesus isn't just saying there are things you shouldn't do, so don't do them. He's getting at the heart of people's reality, that it's much more important to get at and be transformed in our heart than it is just to refrain from murdering people, as hard as that might be. I was thinking, how many of you have ever murdered someone, right? Hopefully not many hands go up. How many have ever had hate in your heart for anyone, right? That's a little bit higher of a bar, don't you think? So what Jesus does in this case, fulfillment of the law, isn't just doing the bare minimum. And in fact, what he says at the very end of this passage, he says, unless your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and Pharisees, you cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. Now, the scribes were those who were day after day after day transcribing manuscripts of the Bible. They were literally the copy machines of their day. And they were so well-versed in Scripture that they were able to transcribe copies so they could be distributed. The Pharisees were those who were the experts in the law. They knew how to interpret the law. They knew how to be faithful to the law. And here, Jesus is saying, the religious leaders of your day, unless your righteousness exceeds that, you cannot enter into the kingdom. Now, I think he means this as a critique, because what had become sort of common in those days for the commandments is to look for loopholes, look for kind of ways to pay some kind of superficial lip service to the commandment and then move on with the rest of your day. Human beings are very, very skilled at justifying ourselves. We very much want to be seen as righteous, but what we really want to do are the things on our own agenda. It's a tough teaching. So, for example, the Sabbath, the commandment, you shall keep the Sabbath and make it holy. Well, the Pharisees, you know, they found some loopholes. Say, oh, these are the things you can do, these are the things you can't do. And in fact, Jesus, in many of his teachings, our Kid Connection, we're talking about this today, in the face of that commandment, of being faithful to that, he sometimes meets someone on the Sabbath, a day of worship, who is in need of healing. So is it better to keep the Sabbath by not working and not healing someone, or is it more important in the spirit of the law to see someone in need, and if you have the capacity to make their life better, that you do it? Jesus didn't come to abolish the law, but he also didn't come to pay lip service to it. It's the spirit and the letter of the law that matters to Jesus. It matters is our heart, to love God with all of our heart, to hold nothing back, and to love our neighbor as ourselves, not in half measures, not in lip service, but all the way. So that God's vision of the blessed are the poor, blessed are the meek, blessed are the hungry, blessed are the peacemakers, that when we love God with all our heart and love our neighbor as ourselves, as we fulfill God's law, those kingdom realities start taking shape in this world. And it is in that midst that Jesus tells us who we are. You are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. And let your light so shine before others that they might see your good works and give glory to God. At every baptism, we light a candle, and we give the candle to sometimes the parents and sometimes the person being baptized, and we say, you are the light of the world, and let your light so shine that they might see your good works and give glory to God. Now, I think the most important two words in these statements from Jesus are, you are. You are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. Jesus doesn't say, if you follow all of the commandments, you might one day be a light. If you're completely faithful to everything I've taught you, you are a light. He just says, you are the light of the world. Right now, you are the light. And Lord knows, we need light because there's lots of darkness. But guess what? Put it a different way. You, the collective you, and the individual you, you are God's plan A. There's no plan B. If there's going to be light brought into this world, you have to do it. That's your calling. That's collectively all of our jobs. You are the light in the world. And there are dark places, I'm sure, in your life that you are the only one who can shine a light there. Whether that's in your home, whether that's at your workplace, in your friendships, in your family, you have the capacity to be the light of the world. Now, if that sounds like a heavy, high burden, it is. But that's why we're here. God created you and I for a reason. We're here on purpose. And God calls us into a world that is filled with darkness, that is filled with evil. And God's only plan is us. You are plan A. You've been given everything you need to make an impact in the world. And not just an impact, to be the very hands and feet of Christ. We, the church, we are the body of Christ. We are the embodiment of Jesus in the world. That's an invitation. That's an invitation and an affirmation for you to know that you have gifts. You have God's presence. You have grace and the capacity to share love and mercy and kindness to make this world on earth as it is in heaven, to make God's kingdom a reality in whatever small way you can. Your job isn't to fix everything. We are called to be a light in the world, in whatever way we can. So don't put your light in a bag. Let it shine and know that in whatever way you can, God will use you as an instrument of God's love and peace in the world. We do so in faith. Amen.